This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined by the man himself, Nathan Blake, and Paul Bandonato. How are we, gents?
I'm off. I've had enough, I'm off.
Superb impression. Who do we think that was?
Right, that's it. I'm out. Thank you, I'm off.
Paul, who do you think that was?
I'm just pulling you in.
That, I presume, is Neil Harris.
He's going to have a chat.
At the post-Wigan press conference, responding to your question about why Joe Bennett was substituted.
Because I want him, all right?
Am I right saying that?
Yeah, well, it's a bad EastEnders audition. One of the two. Okay,
have you quite got that Cockney accent right? I'm not sure.
Listen, geezer, I'm off, all right? All right!
Okay. Very threatening.
Right.
All right, bruv.
Good start to the show.
Yeah. On today's show, we will be discussing the 2-2 draw against Wigan last weekend. We'll be combing through the midfield conundrum that's currently in Cardiff City's hands, and then following on with some Ask Blakey and some predictions. So let's kick off then with that Wigan game. 2-2 against Wigan, a game which beforehand looked a very winnable game, Blakey. 2-2, not a particularly great result.
Typical result, I would say, of our season so far. Another draw. Was that 14, 15?
Lost count.
Yeah. Said last week, I'm not going to get excited and carried away. Said that, didn't I?
You did.
Because football has a tendency to bring you down as soon as you start getting up and excited. So, listen, I just thought, great opportunity to really put pressure on those teams above you in the playoff spots. And there's another opportunity missed, really, or a great opportunity missed. How many more they'll get? I would say probably 2 or 3 before the end of the season, with, what is it, 14 games, 15 games left?
Yeah.
So maybe they'll get 2 or 3 more opportunities, but at the moment, whether we've got enough to step on into the playoffs and have a good charge at it, I'm not so sure. I'll maintain my stance from the beginning of the season. I think we're a top 8 team, top 10 maybe, top 8. But I don't think we got quite enough to get in the playoffs. I think if we were playing a slightly better brand of football, and that's, you know, I know Neil Harris has tried to turn things around, but, I mean, look, our goals against Wigan, all long throws. And, hey, I understand. People say, if it works, it works. Yeah, great, but, you know, I just maintain if you put the ball on the floor a bit more and pass it a bit more and a bit more movement, a few better patterns of play and what have you, I don't think you draw those sorts of games. I think you go on and win them. Simple as that.
So by saying that, you've maintained from the start of the season when Neil Warnock was in charge,
yeah,
that this team was an 8th to 10th place team.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen sufficient improvement in this team to change your mind whatsoever, that it could be a 6th to 8th team even, or a...
Do you have to go on? I've not seen him put 3 wins back to back all season, I don't think. I think I'm right in saying that. And that's just off the top of my head. I've not even done any research on that. But I don't remember us going win. Mm. Now, if you're looking to be a top team in what I call an average league this season, I don't think it's a good league at all. It's difficult, always is. Number of games, teams, much of a muchness. But I look at the two at the top and Fulham and think, squad's very good. I probably put our squad up there as good as Leeds' squad, in all honesty.
Mm.
But it then comes down to the brand of football you play, Glenn. I'll maintain that till the day I die. It's what I was brought up on since I was 6 years old. I know how to play football, I understand football. And listen, people can talk about percentages and chances and look what we've done. And listen, at the end of the day, this is the entertainment business also. You're looking to entertain your fans, and Cardiff fans love footballers, love football.
Paul, your thoughts on the 2-2 draw?
Well, before, massive opportunity miss, but like Blakey, I've been here, seen it done at Cardiff City before, so I wasn't anticipating a win at the weekend. What I'll come back to that in a moment if I may, because I think that there are certain things that I think Neil Harris got wrong,
mm-hmm.
which I'd like him to take more accountability for, but I'll come on to that in a moment. I'd be interested to know yours and Blakey's views on that.
Yeah.
In terms of the brand of football, you know, we've been on all season about the need for Cardiff to play better football. Yet, despite playing woefully for 90% of the season, it's been pretty awful to watch, even in victory. They're still only 9 points off second place. It's an extraordinary situation, which perhaps demonstrates, well, A, how hard Cardiff are to beat, but also B, that the division is ordinary this year.
Yeah, the toes at the top aren't that good.
Yeah, but what I would say is that against Huddersfield, I thought I saw a sea change, you know, sudden, and I saw it for the first 35, 40 minutes against Wigan as well. You know, it was actually quite a joy to be at Cardiff City Stadium in the first half on Saturday and actually see Tomlin, Adoma and Murphy linking. You actually saw some proper creativity on the ground for a change.
Mm.
And obviously we saw that in by the bucket load at Huddersfield in that 3-0 win. So I did see the beginning of a sea change there, I have to say, and proper football being played. I think Adoma's already made a big difference. And then it all fell apart when Murphy went in for that stupid challenge on their right back, Glenn.
Yeah.
Clearly he'd been kicked a bit himself. He went in, you know, sort of daft challenge. I thought, crikey, you might even get a rip for that. It's a really bad challenge. And I don't know what it was after that. Did he feel guilty? Did he feel that he'd get kicked himself? But he stopped going past anybody after that. And then he got subbed in the second half. And I just felt that moment sort of, I know it sounds tough, that almost changed the momentum of the game for me with Cardiff, you know? Mm. I felt Wigan were there for the taking, but...
Maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's... No, seriously, maybe it's something we've said on here about... I've said about Murphy and the aggression part.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe he's just lost his head. And what I would say is, I've been in that position before where you lose your head and then you lose your performance level. Maybe for 10, 15 minutes, but then you tend to come back when you generally calm down. But what I'd say is he might be feeling like I'm not gonna be pushed around.
And that's great, isn't it?
I don't condone anyone trying to take someone out, but I totally understand it. And if he was my player, I'd be saying to him, you know, that's what I expect from you. When someone's kicking you, you know, fight back. And also, then go and ruin them with the football.
But for whatever reason, and this is my point, Blake, if for whatever reason, having played superbly for me pretty well up to that point, scored an excellent goal, beautiful finish, we didn't see it after that challenge.
Maybe
for
something,
for whatever
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, but maybe it's something that he's just discovering now. That I'm talking totally hypothetical here, right? But maybe he's now thinking, right, yeah, that is something I need to add to my game. I'm not going to be bullied and pushed around and kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked where then the referee gives me no protection.
Mm.
So what I would say to him, if I'm managing him or speaking to him, I'm then saying, okay, but then you have your 10, 15 minutes where your head goes, but then you get back on track and you use that aggression in a different way to destroy this kid who's playing against you.
Yeah.
Right, go back to where you was, why he was kicking you in the first place. And now go and destroy him with that aggression.
That's brilliant guidance, actually. But I do think that, you both know I'm a huge fan of Josh Murphy. And I do think that moving forward, I think Harris is finally, we're finally beginning to see the sort of team Cardiff should have been picking, yeah? Where you've got a fast, creative winger on one side, Adoma, who's just come in. You've got Murphy, who's really talented, on the other. You've got Tomlin being picked and clearly the kingpin now. And obviously you've got Patterson, almost compliments him with his work ethic in front. And
I would love to be a centre forward amongst those three.
This is what I'm saying, Blakey. I just feel that there's hope suddenly.
Mm.
There's proper creativity.
Yeah.
There's a bit of panache and pace there that has been missing.
Mm.
And I just hope that he sticks with certainly those three behind whoever's playing up top. I think it should be Patterson at the moment, yeah. But whoever, those three to me hold the key to whether Cardiff charge into that top six or not moving forward.
I think the key is the nine. I think while Patterson gives you endeavour and you need it, like we said last week, how his passion and endeavour has almost kickstarted Cardiff into this little run. I still maintain, like, if you're a centre forward, like I just said, if that's me, I'll get 25 goals with my eyes closed among those three. I know I will. Plus what I can do myself. So, you know, if you're like the centre forwards who are at the club, you know, you got to be thinking to yourself, well, I don't know what you'll be thinking to yourself in this situation, you know?
He's been so crucial to Cardiff recently, though, because Rhys Chambers did a piece for our website this morning about...
Was this Pogo Patterson?
About, well, not about Patterson. He did it about set pieces and how I think Cardiff are top in the charts from set piece goals this year, 18. So it's horses for courses. I mean, he has to pick Patterson because he suits that style of play more. And while Neil Harris is trying to evolve this style of football, he's still got Neil Warnock's squad. So while, yes, Paul is right in saying he's picking the right players in Murphy, Tomlin and Adoma in terms of creativity and creating those chances, they still need Patterson because the lion's share of their goals are
getting themselves. Yeah, if you're Danny Ward or Glatzel, you know, that just can't sit with me. I'm a striker. That can't sit with me, right? Pogo's done a fantastic job, as done every time he's played there. He won't let you down, right? But it's the difference between, okay, Chuck Robert Earnshaw in that nine shirt. You're probably top of the table, even the way we play, because you've got a goal scorer, someone who not only can score goals, but can make goals on himself, run off the back of people, take advantage of people's slips and mistakes. That's what I'm saying. It's not just about scoring goals from expecting your team to create for you. As a striker, you've got to be able to get that ball, roll someone, you know, run 30, 40 yards, cut inside and finish. You get 6 or 7 goals a season like that. You get 6 or 7 goals from set pieces. You get 6 and 7 goals, you know, inside the 6-yard box, you know.
So do you think...
He has 18 goals straight away.
Do you think, given that, that Glatzel would be the best option
in front of those, I haven't seen it.
Danny Ward, Blakey, because I just don't see it with Danny Ward the way so many fans do. I'm sorry, I don't.
It's going to impact him. I don't think you can start him.
I'd agree with that. I totally agree with that. That's the sad nature. But what I'm saying is, Paul, look how many strikers we've had in the last, like, you could say decades since Vincent Tanner's taken over. One of them has been as good as a Chopra or a Bothroyd.
It's fascinating to hear you not agreeing with me, but even infusing even more than me about those three.
Yeah,
Adoma,
yeah.
Murphy, Tomlin, that with a nine there,
yeah.
With an Ernie there.
You get, as a striker, I would have said, before Tomlin would have come in the team, I'd be looking at and thinking, God, it's going to be difficult to get 20 goals. All right? Tomlin in the team, well, that makes my chances to get 15, 20 goals, not bad. Murphy playing well. Okay. Now I'm getting to that stage where I know I'm going to be able to get 20 goals. Murphy, Adoma, Tomlin, listen, you should be gone clear. You've got then, like, central midfield behind them who can dig. You know, you four up the top have got to become the goals, the creation, and then set pieces. You know you're going to get your fair share from your centre-backs and what have you. So, you know, you really and truly got all areas covered. Full-backs you could get a bit more out of, I still believe. Getting forward, getting right up high when the left one's there, coming in and maybe around the 8-yard box and getting the odd goal or two. I think you'd get a bit more out of them, but... You know, you got the bases, you got the nucleus of a good team, and that you can't look at these players and keep saying, "Oh, yeah, they're Neil Warnock's players, so they can't play football." I don't care whose players they are. You've been playing football since you're 5 or 6 years old. Pass and move. It's not difficult. It's muscle memory. If you do it regularly, it becomes the norm. Same as anything else. You know that.
Speaking of strikers then, Kiefer Moore was the striker for the opposition last Saturday.
Someone would be cartwheeling here, because yeah, he was right.
I wouldn't be cartwheeling. He scored two goals against Cardiff. I wouldn't be cartwheeling. Although I do have to say, I thought, certainly in the first half, he troubled Sean Morrison in a way I haven't seen Morrison troubled for some time.
Well, he's got he's got the height.
I thought Morrison would deal with that.
No, because Morrison's not a jumper, is he? I've always said it. Morrison defensively, you don't see him tower about. Remember, like Manga, you'll see jump, and you know what I mean. He'll really power. Morrison's more of a, he uses his height and stature to almost lean over you.
He does. You're right.
Yeah, he doesn't jump and he doesn't hold in the air. He's not someone who will like jump and hold and then bang a header away or bang a header. He uses his height and his strength to kind of maul you and get over you, and that's where he's strong. So when you've got someone like Kiefer, who's a jumper, so he's like a basketball player. He'll like run and jump. You've seen after his celebration of his two goals. He'll run, jump, and do the old like slight Ronaldo thing, but with a bit of a fist pump. So we've seen him in Wales. He can hang in the air. He can hang and wait for that ball to come that split second. You know, so to me, it was no surprise that Kiefer would give Sean a lot of trouble. He would have given Morrison a lot of trouble. That's where, if you're Nelson, that's where athleticism comes in. I would say, if I was Sean Wright, switch sides or pick him up when he's your side, but look, step in front of him a bit. Make him foul you sometimes.
I actually thought he was quite good with his feet as well. I thought he looked like quite technically.
He has done for Wales internationally. He's a good player, but you need goals. That's what I've always said. If you're a top striker in a championship, you minimum ask is 15 goals.
How would it have changed his mindset that Cardiff were in for him in January? Have you ever had a team that you knew were in for you, and then the next time you played against them, you're like, right, I'm going to show them what they missed out on?
No, I've never had that. I've had where I've played against the team, and then within a couple of months, they signed me. But I've never had it where, because most of the time, every time I moved, I had a selection of clubs. It wasn't like the other way around. So I've never been in that situation. But I would think it would enhance Kiefer, knowing that Cardiff went for him. Plus, he probably wants, I'll say this kind of like, but he probably would look forward to coming to a Welsh club, right? Now playing for Wales. And he's played at Ninian Park so many times, you don't realise how, when you get used to playing at the ground, you know, I would say little things like colours. When you're involved in the game, all the fans, right, are just like a blur. So there's certain things that stand out, like hoardings, maybe seating, and you can use these as like angles for where you are on the pitch. For if you got your back to goal, I know by the opposite end and by where the goal is over my left shoulder or something like that, and I'm on the left-hand side of the pitch, back to goal, and I'm going to turn and do something crazy with the ball. But all these things come into play. So it was no surprise to me that he had a really good game. I expected him to play well. If he started, I thought he'd play well.
I suppose we have to come on to the other talking point then, which is Joe Bennett's substitution at half-time. Bit of a strange one, I guess, in terms of his Neil Harris's post-match press conference, which I've just played to you in full this morning, Blakey. So he got taken off at half-time with Cardiff 2-1 down. Leandro Mukuna brought on, slotted in at right-back. Jazz Richards slotted in at left-back. So when asked after the game, Neil Harris said, "I took him off because I'm a manager and I make strong decisions."
That's why.
And then when I followed that up, he said, "Sometimes you just have to make decisions at stages in games or moments in changing rooms. And I decided to take Joe off at half time." How do you both read into those?
Moments in changing rooms.
That's probably. That's
what I picked up on. Yes, it happens not all the time, but it's happened plenty of times. It happens to. So in my day, you had more of a, I would say, those who were the people that were older than you and you learned from were very much, it was like a straight talking,
environment.
Yeah, everyone said what they said. But at the same time, you respected the manager And the only person I seen have it with Eddie May was Phil Stant. But it was the old, I'll get up, but hold me back. He was the god of the lion.
I wouldn't want to tangle with either.
No. But I don't think, Stan, he was where Eddie was. If I'm, it's like, it'd be like the Gypsy King v me. It's just not a contest. He's just going to blast me all over. Right? So I have seen it. And I've been involved in those situations myself. I had it once with Dave Jones majorly. I've seen Chris Sutton and Graham Souness go at it. I've seen it lots of different times. So it's nothing new. You know, you're grown men and you might have a difference of opinion. The surprise was that he hooked him and then had to effectively move players out of position into weaker positions, which probably weakened you as a team, if I'm totally honest. Mm-hmm. So I call that cutting off your nose a bit. You know what I mean? I think what's at the end of the day, I don't know, sometimes I've seen it with Ferguson, Alex Ferguson, where he's had rag with players, but then, you're not allowed to talk to me like that in front of the rest of the team, you challenge my authority. But I always say, you're men, it's going to happen. You know, at the end of the day, you all got the same common goal. You're all trying to get success for your team. And sometimes you'll disagree. And sometimes you will severely disagree to where sometimes you see players come to blows on the same team. I've seen that plenty of times. Where two players start rowing to the point where it starts kicking off in the dressing room. It's great to watch. But it happens. So I feel a bit for Bennett, but at the same time, I understand Neil Harris slapping him down because, he's in a position where he's taking over another man's squad. Right? This is what you got to think of more than anything else. I don't think it's a personal thing. I think he's thinking, look, if I let him challenge my authority and then to that degree allow it, with no punishment, then I'm going to give myself a problem.
It's like a statement substitution.
So I'm going to slap him down and let him know, you can have your piece, you can say it. There's a way to say it. So if you say it in a way that disrespects me, again, I'm speaking hypothetically, that disrespects me, then I'll slap you down and put you at the place. I doubt Bennett will start next game. That would be the interesting one.
Yeah.
If the managers let it go, they've spoken, Bennett starts. If he doesn't start, then there's probably a bit of underlying beef still carrying on.
Paul, your views on that, or do you not have any? Or?
Well, no, I do. I mean, we don't know what was said in the change rooms. What I would say, I mean, you both know I'm a massive Joe Bennett fan. I disagree with you on this, Glenn. I thought he was playing poorly.
Mm.
I thought he probably had his worst 45 minutes I've seen
this
season. Yeah, I thought he was really troubled down that side. And maybe the first goal where Carter completely switched off from that corner.
Correct. Everybody switched off.
But he may have blamed Bennett for that. I don't know. And maybe there were... Look, I'm speculating here. Maybe that this is what led to a potential changing room conversation which he's talking about there, Neil Harris. But what I would say is that Joe Bennett, and it sounds daft this, but he's a second-half footballer, Blakey. He often... Like Cardiff as a whole struggles to get into a game to start with, although he's particularly troubled in this particular case and on that particular game. But he invariably plays superbly in the second half of games, and I just thought, in that respect, I see it both ways. I actually admire a manager who makes bold decisions like that at half time. I really do.
Mm. I think he has to. If there was an argument that's ensued, depending on the level of it, I think if you're the manager,
So I don't really have an issue with that. Where I do take issue with Neil Harris's sort of after-match comments, if you like, and it's just blaming the referee, about the goal, which I personally think Nelson did knock Marshall off stride. So
for the goal,
the goal it was disallowed. To say that was a definite goal, right? I just, so he blamed the referee, blamed him for the early challenge on Will Vaught said he thought should have been a red card after 15 seconds.
I do agree.
But he said, he's named four and says, I'd rather...
Two penalty appeals as well.
I know, you know, you can't just go blaming the referee.
We call it clutching.
You've drawn at home to win. You've got to look at the real reasons here about why the team was not performing. Now, I thought the other substitutions were quite boring, to be honest with you. They were Neil Warnock type, like for like, Hoylett for Murphy. Patterson for Ward. I think Patterson was more likely to score a goal in the last 20 minutes than Ward and should have stayed on. And I'm looking at it thinking, look, you're playing Wigan, a team near the bottom, on your own patch, having to win. You've got a 3-0 win against others behind you. Go for the jugular.
Go and destroy
them. Go and destroy them now. What was Marlon Pack doing to influence that game? Take Pack off. Change the dynamic of the team. Put another... Yeah, but he did, you're right, but I don't think he was influencing
them. No, I agree.
You know what I mean, yeah? And I just feel that the substitutions were conservative rather than game-changing, let's put it that way. And I just think that...
Okay, is there an argument to say that Neil Harris, without having funds, real funds in January... hasn't been able to bring in, because we have to be fair, don't we? We have to try and reflect the whole.
But let's just rewind a little bit to the start of the game. Why did Cardiff start so poorly again? That's been a reoccurring theme all season.
I don't know why they switched off
for that corner?
It's a mentality, I would say.
So you know, I think that these are the issues. I hope that the manager is addressing these, which are the real issues behind the scenes, rather than a goal that maybe was and maybe wasn't, a couple of penalty appeals that maybe were and maybe weren't, a challenge after 15 seconds, which we know isn't going to get a red card, rightly or wrongly, because it's happened so early in the game, and he's right in that respect. But, you know, deal with the real issues about why Cardiff didn't win that game, rather than say it was down to the referee.
But all managers do, don't they? They all deflect.
It's easy to bag the ref.
It's easy. And he knows. We're not stupid players.
The fans are not stupid.
We've said that many times, Paul. You're not going to get it. But from his point of view, I can understand what he's saying. I don't agree with what he's saying. I agree with you, Paul. I don't think the Nelson goal was a goal. I thought it was a free kick for sure.
It was Morrison. Morrison's goal. I just thought Nelson was the one.
I thought, because the keeper flapping, pushed it on to Morrison then, was it?
Something along
that. Yeah. So I thought that that was never should have been allowed. So, but I understand also the deflect. That's what managers do. They try and take you away from the real issues, yeah. And there's clearly, after the interview I heard, there's clearly issues.
But that's fine, Blake. As long as those issues are being dealt with, as the real reasons, don't take
them personally. It's usually like most of the incidents I mentioned earlier, one or two didn't, but most of them, you know, next day it's kind of forgotten about. You know, it's actually becomes like the running joke of the dressing room. Like, you go in and, you know, two of the lads, one is pretending to be the manager, one's pretending to be the player, and they're having a ding-dong. Like, you know, it becomes a running joke. But, I look at what he said, how things have gone, and I just think, looking at the whole picture then, like I said, there's a problem with funds, there's a problem with players that he may have wanted to bring in. I've always maintained the squad is too big, so you need to cut it rather than add to it. So there's lots of it doesn't run smooth. There's lots of little problems here and there. Do you understand what I mean? It's like, so you might say, well, no proper transfer kitty. He's struggling to get a striker. Trying to play a brand of football that is better, but you know, these players are kind of stuck in a way that is more Neil Warnock style than Neil Harris style. I don't think we've really seen Neil Harris style. Like you said, it's been a couple of games. We thought it was starting to develop into something and transition into something different. But then you look at the goals and our opportunities. They mainly come from, well, they did, three opportunities really come from long throws. against Wigan. So, you know, it's not a lot of football, in inverted commas, being played. There's like, what I'm saying is lots of like bits and bobs that are inaccurate, uneven. It's not smooth. And I always say, in order to gain promotion and to gain, like, you know, everyone's going to be on the same page. It's like an arrowhead. It's all everybody, everything, club, commercially, everything. It's got to be pointing in the same direction and for the common goal. And that's always going to be difficult when a young manager as well comes in and takes over a real old, experienced manager's, not real old, you know what I mean, older manager's team, basically. First of all, you've got to win those characters over. You've got to win those big characters over in the dressing room. And they got to believe in what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve. You know, and if that ain't the case, you know, it's going to be difficulty. So at the moment, and then this leads back then to the decision makers. You know, so I say, you just don't make decisions blindfolded. I think that's a combination. This, you've seen a combination now of what happens. If you just keep making decisions blindfolded all the time, kind of like, you know, the finger in the dike situation. I'll just patch that up. Just put that there, just put that. You know, if you're bringing in Neil Harris, you got to have some sort of plan that he's working towards that you've agreed before you've agreed to take him on. So it's, to me, the frustration for everybody is probably bore out of, because the inadequacies is because it's so uneven everywhere. It's not as, because you remember before Warnock came in, it was kind of like that. And he managed to come over in and seemed to smooth everything over. Everyone seemed to be happy. Fans seemed to be happy. Board were happy. Players were happy. And what happened? Woof, you went on a charge, right? But that quickly fell down, right? Because it wasn't built on strong foundations. It was just built on his experience as a manager, basically, and able to turn things around real quickly. He's done it before. He had done it at Rotherham. But if you're going to plan for 2-3 years, now that's not the way to do it. Hence, I'll go back and say, well, I thought once you got the Premier League, right, you've got back on track. It's where you wanted to be. You were slipping away from it. Warnock managed to get you back on track. Right, now keep building, keep going forward, you know, rather than say, right, okay, we'll just take a year in the Premier League, take our medicine and we'll be off again. No, because there's no guarantees you're going to get there again in the next 10 years.
Well, I think that's Wigan thoroughly dissected. We'll be back in part two after this short break. Welcome back. And in this section, we will be talking about Cardiff City's midfield dilemma. So, at the moment, the incumbents are Marlon Pack and Will Vaught, both of whom have been doing fairly well. I would say Will Vaught's probably been doing better than the two. He's garnered more praise from the fan base, I would say. This is the first time now where this bubbling sort of midfield conundrum is going to come to a head this weekend, because I think from what we glean is that Joe Rawls is going to become back available again. Rawls has only played 190 minutes under Harris since he's taken over. Started off the season like a train. And now he has the conundrum of Pack, Vaux, Bakuna and Rawls all coming to contention this weekend. Paul, what are your thoughts on those four, and where do you think Harris will go this weekend?
I think that Harris deserves great praise for making some bold decisions, albeit belatedly, but he finally made them. He dropped Aidan Flint, who for me was part of the problem with the team. You know, expensive Neil Warnock signing, $6 million with add-ons. If we go back into the Premier League, big call to drop him for the Swansea game, if memory serves me right. Drop Neil Etheridge, which was an even bigger call, but we can see with Smithies' distribution, it sort of is beginning to change this style of play that we've called for,
yeah.
Blakey.
Yeah.
He has finally chosen Murphy and Adoma ahead of Hoylett and White. And so there's more of a cutting edge there. He's given a head to Lee Tomlin, who clearly is the kingpin of the team now, yeah? I'm just wondering if he needs to make one more big decision surrounding Marlon Pack to give more mobility and athleticism and legs into the midfield. I mean, let's be honest, even against, you know, Wigan, you know, kind of don't dominate games. They did against them. They don't really dominate, control the midfield in games. And I'm not saying this should happen, by the way, because I see lots of attributes Pack brings to that team. I didn't see it with Flint necessarily, but I most certainly do with Pack. So he has far more latitude as far as I'm concerned. But for me, he still drops too deep into centre-back positions when they should be shoving him out of there. And I'm not convinced there's enough legs in that and dynamism in that midfield. Now, I'm not saying that Bakuna and Rowles can necessarily offer that, offer more than Pack, but I don't know. Part of me is beginning to think that maybe another big call might need to be made here by Neil Harris, because I don't think the midfield is controlling games as the midfield should to make the most out of that dynamic for the front three that you mentioned earlier on, Blakey. Blakey's smiling at me. He's letting me hang myself.
No. It's opinions, isn't it?
Listen, Will Vaux has done really well since coming. Yeah. Right? I'm beginning to see why Neil Warnock played 3 million for him. I think he's doing really well.
Yeah.
Blakey's a massive fan of Bakuna. Lots of fans are big fans of Joe Rowles. Suddenly there's...
Well, you've got four, haven't you?
There's four for two positions all of a sudden, whereas there's been a... It's been two for two, bare bones, previously.
So it's a good problem to have. But the problem for me is the centre-backs. That's where the problem lies. The reason why the pitch is so long is because your two centre-backs aren't ballers. Morrison likes to drop deep because he's always scared of the pace and behind him. But neither one of your centre-backs can bring the ball out and play. You've resolved the issue with your goalkeeper and his feet. You've now got a goalkeeper who's a very good shot stopper, very good all round, but great with his feet. That gives confidence to people. You've seen that. Now, you've got two centre-halves. You said Marlon Pack. I've made this point before. Stop dropping into the back line. Two centre-halves, two proper centre-halves would... He would be out. They don't want him in there. All right? So the fact that they're allowing him, I think, is Nelson's inexperience. That's where his inexperience of playing in League One and coming up through a higher league. So he's just getting on with his job, right? But Morrison knows he's not a ball player, right? Morrison should be, right, telling Pack, if you don't stay out of here, we're going to have a problem, right? It gets to that point, right? Because the conundrum of four central midfield is a great conundrum to have, right? Because I played at Bolton with John Sheridan, played in World Cups, Per Franson, Alan Thompson, and Jamie Pollock. Everyone remember Jamie Pollock from Cardiff Middlesbrough days. But you had four very, very... John Sheridan could pass anyone off the park. Unbelievable pass of the ball. But couldn't get in the team because Alan Thompson and Per Franson fitted what we'd done and had... Chez wouldn't mind me saying he had a knee like a balloon at that point. But they had better athleticism, right? But what you had was Chrissy Fairclough and Jerry Taggart behind them, two beasts of centre-halves, played at the top level. If Alan Thompson or Per Franson would have stepped into Jerry Taggart's area or Chris Fairclough's area, they would have got their heads pulled off. It would have happened once or twice in a season. Now, Marlon is thinking, I've got to go and cover. And sometimes he's right. He's not got the athleticism. I don't criticise him for what he's doing, right? What I say is, it's his responsibility in part, but it's also the responsibility of the two centre-halves to make sure, if I'm a centre-forward and the winger keeps running into my space, we're going to have it. I'm going to tell him, get out. We've all heard it. You've probably seen it in games. You tell him to get out. So for me, the real problem for Cardiff at the moment lies in, I would be searching high and low for a centre-half who could come in and play some football and also has athleticism, right? Because you've got the athleticism in Nelson, but not a great ball player. I'm sure we all accept that, right? He can improve, something for him to improve on. And Sean, not a great passer of the ball, but strong defensively and decent leadership qualities, right? go a long way back. It's what I said. Sometimes you build your team around a Bruno Manga, right? It's the start. Because imagine now, I know it's wishful thinking, but I'm trying to make the point of the importance of recognising certain players and their qualities. If you're going to transition into a different style of football, they had to come by. You spent $6 million, you let Bruno Manga go and spent $6 million on Aidan Flint. Give $3 million of that to Manga to make him stay. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there for me lies a problem. Now, if you're then saying the choice of the four midfielders right now, Joe, that's what injury does, sorry. So you're at the back of the pack. Is a choice between Bakuna, Volks, and Marlon Pack. That's where the conundrum is for me, those three. Joe's going to have to come, get on, play well in training, and get above those three players. If it happens, great. But right now, you come off injury, you're at the back of the pack. That's just the way it is, I'm afraid. These boys are playing in front of you.
So
Bakuna's played well. Right now, I'm
which going two would you pick?
Bakuna and Vox. Right.
So you're agreeing with me about Pack then?
I'm not agreeing in the same sense. I'm agreeing in the sense of dynamism. Right?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He keeps dropping in the back, which we've spoke about before, but I'm trying to explain why he's dropping in the back, in my opinion.
I get all that, but I'm saying that because he isn't the most mobile, the quickest midfielder, it just, because he's dropping so deep, it's affecting the shape of the team further forward. And maybe that's
why... Yeah, the pitch is too long.
Mm. So...
But that's what I'm saying. You don't. What I'm saying is, it's become like a muscle memory, like a habit. Yeah. I haven't seen him at Bristol.
I want to make it abundantly clear here. I'm not calling out Pack in terms of, you know, because I think he brings a lot to that team. He brings, you know, he can pass the ball. He's big. He's got stature. He's got leadership qualities in the midfield as well.
Well, you just touched on that. Okay, yeah, can I just say,
he's got a lot going for him.
I'm suggesting this might be a reason why he keeps getting picked. I think Neil Harris might think that there is a lack of leadership in that side. If you look, Lee Pelty is gone in January. Aidan Flint's not playing, whatever you think of him, is a leader, very vocal on the pitch. Sol Bamba's not playing anymore. So you look at that side, really. Edwards was very vocal in goal. Smithies is a little bit, maybe not as much. So you look at that side now, and you're going through the team that he's picking. Without Pack, you may be only looking at Sean Morrison. As your leader?
Well, I don't agree with that, because Will Volks was captain of Rotherham at the age of 22 for 3 years. You know, you've got to have something about you leadership wise if you made a captain, a regular captain at Championship football at the age of 22. Mm. You know, I've said this before, I've seen Neil Volks come on at that stadium for Will Volks come on at the stadium for Wales in the closing minutes of a game of a qualifier against Slovakia, I think it was, and bossing Gareth Bale around. So
but
having said all that, I think, you know, Pat clearly does bring that to the party, but just part of me is thinking about is another big call necessary from Harris now to create more mobility and dynamism to that midfield?
I think all you need to do, sorry Paul, I think all you need to do is they need to decipher on who's going to hold, because they play two centre midfielders with Tomlin ahead. So what they've got to decipher is, out of the three or four midfielders, is one of you is going to hold, generally, more of the time, and one of you is going to play eight, but you're going to play eight from a six position. So you're going to play two sixes effectively, right? But one of you is going to have the heart and lungs to get back and forth. Bakuna can do that. Volks can do that.
Rouse can do that.
But I would say the most... I would say Volks and Bakuna, to me... I've shown I would pick those two before I would pick
Rouse,
right? That's just my personal opinion. But I would, in this league, the way it is, we should be at the stage now where you can play Pack on his own, Volks on his own, Kuna on his own, Rouse on his own as a six, an eight playing alongside them, box to box. But that eight is supporting Tomlin. So when Tomlin goes out into those wider positions and does a little pattern, you've got someone breaking into the box with the centre forward and the far winger, and then your fullback coming into that midfield position. Say it's Bennett coming up into that midfield position, so you're sitting, and then you leave your two centre backs alone, and maybe Jazz Richards tucks in a bit, but you're then able to press teams in. So there's you know, we're talking tactics now. Do you know what I mean? And I understand the dilemma with Marlon, but for me, there's one or two things you could do which would alter his thinking, and then ultimately that would alter performance of not just him, but others around him. But it's what you're demanding from your player. Bakuna's got the legs, most definitely. Great athlete to get up and down all day. Volks, he's like a machine.
He's got the legs
to get up and down all day, right? Rals has got the legs to get up and down. But I would say athleticism has been a problem for Rals when he's played central midfield in the past. Bakuna and Volks, I don't see athleticism as being a problem for them too, right? Packer see athleticism being a bit of a problem. So you play him because he's big, stature, leadership qualities, as Glenn said. I'd say, right, he'd be my main holder. I don't expect him to get in front of the ball. And he's always brave enough to take the ball. And he's a good passer of the ball.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Right? So I would, personally, I'm saying I would probably sit athleticism, Volks, machine as a six, Kuna as my eight, and you've got Tom in the head of him. But I'd have no problem if you said, right, I'm going to say, well, I would sit Pack as my six and Volks as my eight and, you know, Tomlin ahead of him.
Provided Pack plays further up the pitch.
Yeah, but then that's the game comes down to my two centre-halves. Mm-hmm. Not just Pack. Pack is always of the feeling that he's got to cover somebody. I'll never forget the game against Charlton where Pack went into a sort of a left-back position and stuff. It was like crazy. Kuna's out on the left-hand side. That's just ill-discipline. Right? That's just ill-discipline. But you're right. It has become a bit of a habit for Marlon to drop in. And I've seen it before where players think they're protecting. They're protecting. But actually, it's the flip side. It's a hindrance because it them loses shape. You know, I've played with players who run all over the park, you know, run past players to close players down. And the crowd gives them, whoa. But the players in the dressing room are like, what are you doing? Just keep losing our shape because of you. Mm. Right? So it's a discipline. So I understand. But for me, I think it's a beautiful, it's a great choice, a great conundrum to have between Rouse, Pack, Volks and Bakuna. And like I said, Rouse has come back off injury, so automatically come back to the back of the queue. You know, it's not like if a Tomlin gets injured and comes back, he kind of goes straight back in because he's a one-off in the position he plays. But you've got a choice of three or a choice of four here. So for me, you know, I'm not bothered whether it's Marlon as the holder, Volks as the holder. But to me, it would help the transition of football they're trying to play. Because you've now got a midfielder who not only joins in down the central belt going into the box trying to get goals, but he can run in behind defenders, left backs, right backs. It then starts to open things where then wingers can come off and full backs can rotate, and it just changes the whole dynamic. But then that is then a coaching thing, right? You have to work on those moves and those ideas for the muscle memory, as I mentioned earlier.
I've seen a few people say on Twitter about potentially playing a diamond with Marlon Pack as a six, and then potentially Volks and Bakuna straddling either side there. Do you think there's any merit in that?
And then Tomlin.
And then Tomlin at the front of the diamond with Pack at the base.
Okay, so then you've got the width though.
Well, exactly. That's always the counterbalance, isn't it, when you play a diamond?
Yeah, I don't think between them they get enough goals to do that. If you're going to play a diamond, you've got to have midfielders who score goals. And got a knack of scoring goals, like a Gary Speed, God rest him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the diamond, Speedo's fantastic. Why? Because he gets you 15 goals a season. You know, that's the ultimate, right? Is it, you don't just say I'll play a diamond because I've got four players who can play a diamond. Does that make you stronger or weaker? Are those diamond players, can they get goals? Or can they just play in a diamond? Do you understand what I mean?
Dropping a winger for something.
Right, and a winger, you might be dropping someone who not only assists with three or four chances a game, but is liable to get you a goal every three or four games also. Now, if the same is said about the players in the diamond, then okay, it's no problem, is it? You've got a choice.
So if we were all to be pushed on who the two midfielders would be, Blakey, Acuna and Volks, have you?
Yeah, I've gone for that athleticism. It's not due to Marlon's ability or anything like that. It's just, I'm just thinking athleticism and be under cover. And I think building an understanding is important as well.
And you, Paul?
Well, if Pac were to play 10-15 yards further forward, I would have him, because as Blakey said, you know, let's not underestimate this, he's always prepared to take the ball.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a big quality to have in the Heat of Championship battle.
Yeah.
He's got presence, he's got stature, he's a good passer. But if that's not happening, Cardiff, there's an issue in that midfield area. They do need more legs and athleticism to link, you know, the two areas of the field. So I would probably be inclined to go with Volks, who I think's played really well. And I think once he's come back, I would put Joe Ralls in there with him.
For what it's worth, I think I would agree with Blakey. I think Bakuna's been excellent this season. I've often sang his praises. I know he has his detractors, which go back.
I think he can do more as well.
Yeah,
there's been games where he's trying to get, we're trying to get back in the games. And then when he gets into that mood where he's athletic.
Yeah, he grabs the game
right
off the net.
He can play on the wing, he's so athletic.
Yeah.
Right? When he gets into that mood and then you see him starting to get into the crowd and get them G'd up. I've only seen it 3 or 4 times, but when he's on it, you know, and I wasn't a massive fan of Leandro, I'll be honest with you. I thought, you know, not sure. But taking him some time, settled down, and he's become a really good player. And I just, not become a really good player, he's already a good player. A really good player for us at this moment in time. I just think you can even get more from him. I would be saying to him, the athleticism is frightening. Why don't you want to get 10 goals a season on the back of that?
I just think that once they're all back to full fitness, I think where Joe Ralls scores over the others is that he's a better passer of the ball.
Not a chance.
Oh, he is.
Not a chance.
I'm not making it out to be Javi or anything.
No, but for me, one of Joe's major problems is he passes it sideways. He doesn't pass the ball forward. Take it from a centre forward. There's so many opportunities, and I've said it for years. I think Joe, he's got a sweet left foot, which can be even sweeter.
Yeah.
But too many times, his option is the safety option, right? Like I've said, he should be looking to play off a striker in, get it back, and he's blasted past the centre,
well, he's
midfielder.
Got the ability to do that, hasn't he?
They've all got the ability to do it. He just doesn't do it.
Okay, well, obviously a hot...
No, Paul had to finish.
No, I just want to finish with saying, despite everything we've said there, I don't anticipate any of this happening. It'll be pack and roll, pack and vaults for...
if we get some beauty, we can do it for ourselves.
For Stoke on Saturday.
So obviously a point of discussion there. Let us know your views on Twitter at Cardiff City Live and on Facebook as well. We'll be back just after this with some Ask Blakey and some predictions.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Welcome back to the final part of Ask Blakey, where we will be asking the great man your questions. So let's go straight to Twitter. So we've got 4 questions from somebody called Jensen. Okay.
All right, Jensen Button, how are you, mate?
So we'll have to keep them short and sharp. First question he asks is, do you feel Sanderson needs a run in the team?
Do I feel sadness what?
Sanderson needs a run in the team.
Oh, Sanderson?
Yeah. How do you think Jazz has been?
I think Jazz has found it difficult coming back into the team. I think we said last week he's had some wingers to cope with, in fairness to him. But he's been out a very long time. You can say he's struggled at times, but he hasn't been rinsed at any sort of time where, you know, you have to drag him off for his own sanity sort of thing. So, and I haven't seen Sanderson, I'll be honest with you. So I don't know. He's going to have to play a couple of games, and then we can have the discussion like we did about the 4 in midfield. We've seen all 4 of them play in a Cardiff shirt. We know what they bring. So
I suppose it didn't bode well that Kuna was brought down instead of him last season.
Well, then it builds the question, why did you bring him in the first place yet again? You know what I mean? And I was reading an article, from Mehmet, saying how much, like, they'd invested 100 odd million in the Championship and the Premier League, and I just think that's a lot of money.
Under Warnock, that was.
Yeah, I know, and that's a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? And you know, to come out of there with no star quality. You're now looking at Tomlin as your star quality, aren't you? I mean, but how old is Lee?
Maybe.
How old is Lee?
31.
One? Yeah. So you might have another year or two at best in him. You know, it's an awful lot of money to build where you're not looking back and going, or you're not looking at the squad and going, yeah, but in another 3 or 4 months, when he turns 22, 21, 22, he's going to be annoying. So, but, hey, so what happens if you spend money and you don't really know what you're spending on?
Jensen also asks, do you think Bennett is liked by Harris? I'm not sure how much insight you'd be able to provide on that one.
Oh, really, I would say maybe they like each other, but probably, let's say, probably not after Saturday. Maybe it's cleared the air on a Monday, though.
Do you think Etheridge will be first choice any soon?
No, that's
Smithy's done really well.
I think that fight is over, to be honest with you.
Potentially see him going in the summer?
Yeah.
And finally from Jensen is, can you see us getting playoffs? Where will we finish?
Finish 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Oh, he's got up one place.
Yeah, I mean, I've just outside the playoffs, I think, you know, if we do, great. Like I said to you last week, I love them to prove me wrong, but opportunities come along like Wigan and they get missed. And like I used to say, the Tux, God rest him, is you run out of games. You do run out of games because if you do get into that playoff spot, then you can't afford to lose. So the pressure's now, the dynamic of the pressure changes and your mentality changes, right? It's like running from the front or running from second place. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a total different dynamic. The pressures change. And people go, oh, once you're in there, oh, that's it, we're in. Well, I think Preston dropped out of it. Preston were in it and dropped out on the weekend, I think.
They're still six.
Still six, are they? But they lost?
They
lost, so...
Level on points with Preston in seventh.
Yeah, so they'll be 3 points ahead of us now?
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, I say 4 points. Doesn't sound a lot, but it is difficult to close because a team can afford to have... You know, if you have 3 draws, they can afford 1 win, and you know we're still on 4 points difference between us. But that's 3 games have gone. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the opportunities like Wigan, you know, you've got to take them when they come along. A proper serious team who's going for promotion and not talking about promotion, they take those opportunities.
Okay, Ryan Moore asks.
All right, Ryan.
Is there any change in the style of play under Harris? Possession stats virtually the same as under Warnock. First goal against Huddersfield apart, still reliant on set pieces. Emperor's new clothes, question mark?
Yeah, this is something that we've looked at and kind of analysed. And like I said, the two goals and the best opportunity against Wigan were all long throw-ins. And they're throwing the ball in from 30 yards away now, you know, 10 yards outside the 18-yard box. I think there's, Paul mentioned earlier, there's been games where you can pick out, right, or that is better football. But that needs to become the norm. Do you know what I mean? And if you're struggling to get, if you're 1-0 down or 1-1 in the last 10 minutes and you're going for it, then maybe you can resort to this, you know, aerial bombardment Cardiff are very good at. But they need to definitely in transition they do need to be playing more football because you've got now players who that's what they're best at. You know, Murphy best with the ball on the floor at his feet. Tomlin the same. You know, Adoma the same. You know, so for me, and that's where the pressure is to get the goals. So for me, you have to try and transition a bit more and things do need to improve footballing wise still, yeah.
And just finally from Tim Lewis.
Tim or Tum?
Tum.
Tum. Oh.
Says, following that atrocious refereeing display Saturday, what is the worst game Blakey has played in when it comes to bad officials? Scrape the archives there.
I would probably go Bolton Newcastle when the referee was Keith Cooper.
Oh! Dig!
I'm only joking. He shouted, but he told me off in the game. We always have a little bit of a laugh and joke about it. I was complaining about Ginola diving, and he said to me, "Oh yeah, but he said, have I given him a free kick yet?" And I said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, shut up then. Get on with the game." I was like, "Okay." I was like, "But nah, you top referee, Coops. He's probably the best, to be honest with you."
Okay.
Then. I can't give you a moment. It's, I've got a clue.
Finally, we come on to our predictions for this Saturday. So Stoke away, notoriously difficult place to go.
Cardiff 9-1.
Only sensible suggestions, please, Nathan. You've got there, Blake. We'll come to you first, seeing as though you're so eager to predict the Cardiff City win.
1-1 draw written all over it, isn't it?
Paul?
No idea.
Every week.
We're crap at predictions.
Why do we do it?
Well, we get it. We'll...
It genuinely, and don't laugh at this, it genuinely is, it could be any one of three results, right? And that isn't the case, because there's no way Wigan were going to win at Cardiff last week. I won't be surprised by a 2-0 Stoke win, a 2-1 Cardiff win, or a 1-1 draw. I have no idea with Cardiff at the moment.
I reckon it's going to be a 0-0 draw. I reckon I'm going up there to watch a goalless draw.
No, Stoke, I'm commentating, so Stoke have turned things around a bit.
Mm.
But again, they're finding it difficult because, you know, two or three wins for them doesn't automatically, and then one or two losses just puts you back into the same position, right? So it's really difficult game, but you know, O'Neill's done fantastically well with them, you have to say.
Yeah.
And where they are, where they were.
Well, they got very good players there, Blake.
Oh, they got the top four squad.
Any decent manager would get that team flying.
Top four squad for sure. They should be in it with Fulham, Leeds, West Brom, ourselves. Yeah. You know, they've got a very, very good squad. But if you look at someone like Brentford, it comes down to how you play.
Yeah.
Right, it's how you play.
Yeah.
Is the be all and end all. So, I'm gonna go 1-1 draw.
Well, we shall see. Thank you all once again for listening. Thank you.
And thanks, Patrick, the Cardiff fan.
And thanks, Patrick, the work experience lad is in. Having a look at us doing our podcast.
Big blue.
Make sure you leave us reviews and keep up to date with all the Cardiff City news at Wales Online.